Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 7 of Coalition Victory. I'm your host, John Walls, and I've got with me today some of the members of Team Victory. As usual, joining us tonight is Toops.
Good night, everybody.
Ford.
Guzentag.
And Jamie.
Welcome, everybody.
So yeah, it's just the standard crew as usual tonight. We do have one quick shout-out at the beginning before we get started. One of the members of our group just had a baby girl, so congrats to Brock.
Yay.
Brock, if you're listening, congratulations.
First one
in the group to have a child.
Don't know what the appropriate celebration is for that, aside from a cigar, which is very hard to symbolize on a podcast.
We buy him Carnes, and and that's all I can think of.
He's got an unopened box of New Phyrexia, a complete like playset of New Phyrexia I redeemed from Magic Online.
That we can give that to him. We'll wrap it up with a bow.
Pink though.
Magic. Since we like Magic, we talk about Magic. What have we been doing in Magic this week? It's normally where we start, and I'm going to just go left to right as usual. Toops, what have you been doing this week?
Oh, I have been drafting, a veritable shit ton. Mostly because there hasn't been any good standard tournaments or anything like that, no Legacy, so just topped on Modo. I think I'm like 12 drafts deep in the past 48 hours on Modo, and then I did 2 over the weekend as well. Just playing white decks, playing red decks, playing red-white decks, and haven't really been losing. Yeah, I've got a nice little Modo bankroll going right now.
Jamie, tell me about your Modo bankroll.
I purchased like 40 tickets the other day with cold hard cash.
That's a bankroll for you.
It's been very fruitful because I got myself some popper cards now. Going to start the Magic Online grind and see what we can do with those.
What deck did you end up buying?
I ended up going with Tron just because it was like pretty cheap to start with. It seems pretty much like playing unfair decks is just fun when you first start, and Tron is one of the more unfair decks you can get. Although, in Popper, there's not as many unfair things to cast so far, but
still
working at it.
Casting an Eldrazi is still unfair.
It's not as unfair as you would think. I did get it chump blocked the first time I cast it. So, Annihilator 2 is not enough to wreck a whole board. The format's a lot about creatures. There's a lot of like aggro play, a million creature decks.
So you're running
friend
a little
John
less pressure, right?
Knows how to chump block.
Yeah, I'm good at chump blocking.
I do have one somewhere in the deck. Yeah.
Right and now. He's 8 mana, right?
I'm going to get the extra cards. He is 8 mana for an 8/8 that must attack every turn. Annihilator 2.
So you can't even cast him on turn 3 if you just natural Tron, can you?
No. I had to do math. I was counting. I was like...
That's kind of unfortunate. You'd think there'd be like a good 7 mana colorless something that you could run.
We'll find something.
No. The 7 mana like artifacts that you can cast is like a Crawworm. There's like a 6/4 for seven.
Hexplate Golem.
Mirrodin Besieged or something.
Yeah. It's a 4/7. It's a reverse Crawworm.
No, there's the Wake Thrasher, too.
Oh, Razorfield like Thrasher, opposite, yeah, which is the 6/4.
Yeah.
That does so have some of the best flavor text of any card, though.
No, this is my experience. I haven't done Popper that much. Is it just common, or do we get common and uncommon?
You just get commons.
It's just common, okay. But you can use cards that were printed in or printed as uncommon as long as they were printed on Modo as a common at some point. So, like, cards like Rancor, common in, was it Urza's Legacy, I believe?
Urza's Hammer.
That card was printed as an uncommon in, was it M13, one of the recent core sets. You can use the core set version in your Popper deck. As long as it has a legal Popper version, which is a common printing. So cards like High Tide are actually not legal in Popper on Modo. It was common in Fallen Empires, I believe. But the only time it's been printed on Modo is one of the MTGO Masters, where it was an uncommon. So High Tide is actually not a legal card in Popper. And then you've got weird stuff like that one, and I think the other big one is like Hymn to Turok. So a lot of some of those older cards.
Okay.
And the only reason why I know this is because I've also recently kind of jumped into Popper. I had my Affinity Popper deck, which kind of turned into my modern Popper deck, Affinity deck, rather, when Toops and I were doing some testing for Richmond. I've been streaming a lot and kind of grinding, like Jamie said, trying to get some value. Yeah, I did end up finally pulling the trigger and buying Mono Blue Delver for Pauper. Dazes are something like $6 a piece or something. They're pretty ridiculous. But now I have them. I have my Gorilla Shamans. I have my Hydro Blast and my Pyroblast. So most of the other Pauper decks I'm looking at are maybe like 10 tickets or less investment if I ever want to play something different now that I have kind of the staples. So I kind of pulled that trigger. I've been playing that. I've been streaming. I got to play a good amount of Modern on Saturday on the stream. Toops was joining me for most of the day. I played a little bit of Legacy. Got to finally play Tin Fins. I got all my final Shallow Graves, which is like a reanimator type spell. I got those at Richmond from Star City, so I was able to build Tin Fins for our weekly Legacy tournament, and I ended up going 3-0 and just demolishing people. It was awesome.
Wait, did you play Tin Fins on Sunday?
No. Sunday, oh, okay. We had a Legacy IQ. I went and played Blue-White-Red Delver because I wasn't quite familiar with Tin Fins. In hindsight, Tin Fins would have been a great deck to bring to that tournament. I would have demolished. There were so many fair decks, and you know, throughout the course of playing Legacy, I beat Jund and was it Rug Delver on Thursday, and then like a Pox deck. So I beat a whole bunch of discard and a whole bunch of counter spells. So I think it would have been a good metagame choice, if you will. Ford, what have you been up to?
Well, I don't know exactly how much Magic Online I've been playing. I don't know what the metric equivalent of a shit ton is, so. But it's been quite a lot of Magic Online. I've been jumping between the drafts, though I don't do the great value ones with the 8-4. I prefer to do the ones that I'm guaranteed at least three rounds with most of the time. So the three-round Swiss, pretty sure.
No, Swiss are perfect. Swiss or 8-4, just no one's ever allowed to play in a 4-3-2-2, ever.
Yet and they still fire.
This is still fire. Sometimes they in the special events, like the things are all set up as the 4-3-2-2.
Oh, I hate it when the flashback drafts are 4-3-2-2s because they're also three tickets to enter instead of two.
Yeah,
blowing tickets.
And then I've been also tweaking a little bit my black white standard deck and the standard two mans and the standard dailies. And honestly, I've been getting more owned in that than I have been in person lately, just because the insane amount of, or not insane amount, but well, maybe for me, of the metagame that I'm dealing with, which is the new black mono black aggro and red aggro burn, dealing with those decks, and my black white deck is just horrible at dealing with those style of decks, just because I've tweaked it to deal better with the blue white X control and the Jund or red green monster, so a little bit more removal and thoughtsy stuff to handle those two decks, but the aggro deck still, unless you get the right draw, just kind of go faster than you can. And then luckily yesterday, for me at least, was a snow day at work, so definitely was playing a lot of Magic Online, putting good use to my extra weekend day. Also, mostly completing my itemized list of my entire collection, which took way too long. But I'm trying to find out where I have cash to see where I can finally get stuff I need for a Modern deck.
Modern's fun. At some point. I'm kind of glad I have my Modern deck on Modo now. Having affinity basically in almost every format on Modo is really nice.
Is there a Legacy affinity?
There is. It runs like Tezzerets and stuff. So I've been actually looking into that, trying to maybe buy Ancient Tombs and Tezzerets. Because I have the lands. Because the...
Now, which Tezzeret are we talking about here? Are we talking Bolas or...
Bolas, the 4-mana one, the good one.
Yeah. So he basically turns your lands into 5/5s or 4... Was it 5/5s or 4/4s?
5/5s.
5/5s, yeah. You can attack with Mox Opal. It's OP.
Well, he also has inevitability. He just like will drain your opponent for your artifacts
twice.
And he's
the
like
artifacts.
Lethal a lot when you just play him. Like he's just like, hey, I'm lethal. All I gotta do is tick up once. You got one turn to answer me.
Yeah, normally when you cast the 4-mana Tezzeret in Legacy, you're going to be using the artifact lands to cast him. So he's going to come down. He's going to plus one. You're going to have at least four artifacts in play at that point. So his minus ability the next turn is going to be, I believe, 8 damage, probably more. So, yeah, it's a nice little aggro deck. I might look into buying the rest of the stuff, but I might just try and grind a bit with Popper. So I think, yeah, as Jamie kind of said, Jamie and I both have – we got bit by the Popper bug this week, and it's awesome. I've so far really enjoyed the format. Jamie, do you want to speak a little bit about Popper?
Sure. I mean, I was a little shy about Popper because if you look online, you see that like the most popular deck by far is Delver, and it makes up something like close to 20-30% of the metagame right now. So that kind of scared me at first. I assumed it was just all going to be like Delver mirror matches, and Delver was the best deck. But it turns out that the rest of the decks are all about 5%, but they're, you know, that's the other 70%. So that's like 12 other decks making up somewhere around 5%. And it turns out Delver isn't necessarily the best deck by like a wide margin, or some people don't even believe it's the best deck. So don't get scared by that when you just see that, you know, Delver's all over the place. There's a lot of viable decks. The format to me feels a lot like if like Legacy and Modern got together and had a baby.
I don't even know what that would look like. I don't think it would look like Popper, though.
I think it does look a lot like Popper, because like a lot of the decks are, they have things like Legacy, like where if you just leave them alone, they have game plans and they're gonna go off. Like you have things like Tron, you have Storm-esque combos. They got rid of Storm, but they have like a bunch of weird combos where you bounce a bunch of things, play a bunch of things, bounce a bunch of things. So there's all these like combo decks where you just like do all these things. There's a lot of neat synergy and interaction in the format, similar to Legacy. But unlike Legacy, it's not like one of those formats where like if you just screw up or don't have the right hand on turn one, you know, sometimes you're just too far behind. There's actually a lot of interaction, and it takes a few turns to figure out, you know, who's doing what. So I feel like it's a good merger of the two formats where there's a lot of fun decks. There's a lot of neat interactions. It's built, I think, a lot more on synergy of your cards than necessarily resolving one powerful card. So far it seems fun. I haven't played that much, just been practicing, trying to learn how the Tron decks work before I go embarrass myself in a tournament. Also, the sideboards take a little work. As John already alluded to, some of the cards in this format are quite expensive, and most of them are the sideboard cards, so I haven't decided and committed into the cards yet until I decide exactly which Tron I'm going to run, and if any. I mean, it was a very cheap deck, and there's plenty of other cheap options to pick up, and lots of neat ideas. I was just strolling through the commons list today, and I was like, came across all these really powerful cards I forgot were common, and wondering why they're not being played currently in Popper. So there's a lot of room for brainstorming, too, I think.
But there's no room for action.
Which is also legal in Popper.
There is room for brainstorm. There's, you wouldn't think it, or actually you probably would think, you would go, oh, the best commons in all of Magic. I bet brainstorm's used all the time. But it's not, surprisingly. That was one of
There's no shuffle effects.
That's right. There's no shuffle effects, which makes brainstorm even better. There's one deck that utilizes brainstorm really, really well, and it's the five-color Tribal Flames deck. Because it runs Terramorphic Expanse and Evolving Wilds. So it can actually utilize Brainstorm, whereas like the Delver deck that I bought and, you know, some of like the blue-red control decks, they're using cards like, was it Compulsive Research? I think that's the right one. Which is a draw three,
Ponder,
and then discard two unless it's a land. And then you get, you know, the cantrips that are pretty standard in Legacy. You've got your, like Jamie said, your Ponders, your Preordains. So it's a pretty good format from what I've seen. There's a lot of decks. I'm going to kind of echo Jamie's idea of it being a kind of a merger between Legacy and Modern. There's a lot of carryover of ideas of decks from those formats. Like Jamie said, there is a Delver deck, which is probably one of the main kind of pillars of Legacy, is just the card Delver. And, you know, the interaction of having a 3-2 for one. There's that, and then you've even got cards, or rather archetypes from Modern. Like, there's a Hexproof deck, So you've got Boggles, which runs slightly different auras, and you've got Affinity, which is a modern deck and kind of a fringe legacy deck. And they all see play, and I think it's more like modern in the sideboard than it is legacy in the sideboard. Kind of, you know, we both were touched on this a little bit, but the sideboards are really strong. So there are a couple cards, and they're normally going to be a little bit more expensive, but they're going to be pretty big hosers, kind of like modern sideboards. Something like Gorilla Shaman, which is a 1 red for a 1/1. But you can pay XX and a mana to destroy a non-creature artifact with mana cost X. So in the deck like Affinity, any deck that's running red, running 3 Gorilla Shaman on the board, can just blow up any one of their artifact lands for 1 mana with this Gorilla Shaman. So the sideboards are pretty good. It's a good format. I think it's pretty balanced. I've been enjoying with it a lot. I've played a bunch of different stuff. I have like a Dredge deck, the Delver, the Affinity, and like Jamie said, we've been playing a little bit with Tron. So there's a lot of decks. A lot of stuff can just kind of spike. The dailies, like Jamie said, haven't just been all Delver. There's been a lot of different stuff. So I'm kind of curious to see how it goes. I'll be streaming most of this kind of discovery as we go along, which I think makes it a lot more fun.
And then hopefully we'll be able to at least get him to also stream at least one draft at some point. I know he had a draft set. I don't know if he's already, Wallace has already used it or not.
Oh, still have it.
We're going to get him, hopefully, to stream one of these drafts, and we're going to watch Toops' reaction to all the picks and see.
I'm just going to have to be in the same room as him to literally force his hand. Otherwise, I'll just have to walk out. You know, I'll have an aneurysm or something.
I know if we've talked a little bit about, I think most of us played a lot of draft over the last few days. Toops apparently 0-12 or something in the last, or 12-0 in the last 48 hours.
Yeah, I actually used a spreadsheet. You can find a halfway decent one on limitedresources.com. They've got a spreadsheet that you can use to track all your drafts. It actually does the calculations for how much money you're spending or winning per draft. And I recommend that everyone goes and do that. So I can actually look back and see over the past, got out of the habit of updating it for a while, but over the past couple days, you know, I have all my drafts just right out in front of me. And I can see, you know, wins, losses, what rounds, you know, whether I went 2-1 or what archetype I was playing, what format it was in. It's a great tool. I think that anyone that's serious about Modo should play it.
And don't get me wrong, I've seen the spreadsheets before, but this is still a game, and I keep track to an extent how well I'm doing by the number of extra packs I've got lying around whatever the current standard set is, because that's usually what I'm paid at, and it's more fun, I think, and might not be as technical as Toops get sometimes, but it gives you a little bit more fun, especially if you're not doing this specifically for money.
But I can tell you exactly that I have an 82.4 win percentage and that I make 2.75 ticks per draft.
Oh, good.
See, don't know that. I love information.
No, I don't know that, but you want to know what's good? I know I have fun at every draft, mostly.
And I have fun just spending money on Popper.
Besides from when I go 2-1 and don't get a single pack. That's annoying. But so
Law's love of spending money does not end in Popper.
My love of spending money on this game doesn't it exceeds the realm of reality and goes into the virtual existence that is Modo.
Whereas I have the exact opposite feeling about this game. I want to spend as little money as possible on it. And I've gotten to where it's just about self-sufficient, so.
That's pretty good. I find the best way to be close to self-sufficient is to stay away from the limited formats on Modo. And you do much better. I don't know about Popper. I'm assuming it's roughly the same payout as the other events, but the standard does pretty good payout if you've got your deck for it. Legacy is probably better because you don't need to change your deck too much is what I would guess. And Modern, I have no earthly idea, but that format changes so much for me. The decks seem to be consistent, but whatever the strongest deck is always seems to change, especially on Magic Online.
Well, that's why Pauper's so good. The daily payouts are the exact same as the other formats, except the buy-in cost is, you know, probably a tenth of what it costs to buy, you know, a standard or a legacy deck, let alone a modern deck with the ridiculous fetch land prices.
Have they come close to the dual lands yet?
Oh, they're more expensive than the dual lands.
God,
on Modo or in general?
On Modo. On Modo.
Modo, yeah.
Oh, and in real life, too. I mean, if you're thinking about a $120 Scalding Tarn, I mean, compare that to a Badlands.
Yeah, you have to compare color to color, though, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing that, then yeah, sure. But I still think that a Badlands is probably worth less than a Bloodstained Mire. There we go. And a Taiga is definitely worth less than an Arid Mesa, for sure.
Yeah, but Taiga would compare to Woodlot, whatever.
Oh, sorry, I mean Plateau. I'm just thinking about all the terrible ones that no one ever plays.
Oh, no one plays that.
In my head.
I have a playset.
Yeah, there are color differences in the formats, which will screw that all up. Like, nobody ever uses a Plateau.
But it's one of the only five fetch lands in Modern, so it sees so much more play than a Plateau.
Yeah, I found fetch lands when I was organizing all my stuff. I found, like, three Misties. So, I feel happy.
That's not the worst problem to have.
Congrats on your newfound wealth.
It's not. I'm quite happy with that. So, Tubes, with all your draft experience, what colors have you been
white, going with? Just all white.
No question. It's white. That's the best color.
So it's not. It probably is the best color, but it's not going to be the best color for everyone. I just go into the draft. I don't want my round to last more than 9 minutes. I've been keeping track of the times on the rounds. I want to win as quickly as possible and just punish the people that stumble. So I've been drafting red and white-based aggressive decks. Looking back over my spreadsheet, I haven't drafted a deck that didn't have red or white in it. And that's because white is just so inherently powerful, both in Theros and Born of the Gods, that you're just getting good quality cards if white's the least bit open. Red, on the other hand, I've started approaching because it's just so open, at least on Modo right now, in Pack 1, because everyone has it in their mind that there's no good red cards in Packs 2 and 3. So I tabled a Searing Blood earlier today in an 8-4, which, you know, isn't unheard of, but, I mean, it's just a clear sign that, hey, red's open and you should be in red.
Now, in your red-white decks, just wondering, are you doing the white, just white, aggro creatures, or how many of them have, like, the heroic triggers?
Oh, I mean, it depends. The better decks are, you know, the red-white heroic decks. You know, like, 16 land, generally. You know, maybe you get a 4 or 5 drop in there. But generally, you want to stop at, like, Wingsteed Rider and then just throw a bunch of crap on it. Every once in a while, you'll get lucky enough to open up an Ornithark, and that can go in there, too. But as far as the rest of my decks, lately I haven't been really forcing it, but it's just been open a lot, is the Gerard Fabiano special of red-white terrible cards, where you just run 30 1-1s for 1 and 10 lands and hope to get there.
So you're playing, do you play the 1-1 flyer haste red guy?
I hate that card, but I just won a draft with it in my deck. So,
Knew it!
Yeah, I went turn one, the red 1-1 that can sack an enchantment for white mana.
The Priest of Iroas.
Yes.
Or Priestess of Iroas.
Into the Sun Chaser, into on turn 3 an Ordeal and a Dragon Mantle, and then on turn 4 the one that gives the attacking creature plus X plus O, where X is your red devotion. So, I got a little big.
I love that red devotion enchantment a lot. I mean, I don't know about those X, but I put it on the number of times I put that on the two-headed Cerberus, two red and one double striker guy. I'm sure it's great on other creatures, but that and any sort of that
no,
just
it,
it needs
itself.
It's
pretty terrible on those other creatures, actually. It's really only good on.
It depends. If you have a solid red devotion deck, like if you somehow know you're going red, you've got Fearsome Tempers, you've got. I mean, this might not be aggro strategy, but you've got Fearsome Timbers, you've got Fanatic of Mogis, which is a burn damage equal to your red devotion. You get the somehow you get the Thundered Brute from Born of the Gods. You get a couple other early drops in red and everything, and you have fun with it. Oh, and definitely get Thunderstrikes. Is it Thunderstrike? Is that the one? Or is
that plus two plus zero in first strike?
Oh no, I was talking about the burn.
Lightning Strike.
Oh, Lightning Strike. Strike. Yeah.
Sorry. So many lightnings and thunders and train coming by my place right now, which should be a magic card, by the way. Somehow gets plus two, plus oh, and first strike, but you can't hear anything for the next 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So, I've been drafting a little bit. I've seen it this way in that black is kind of really weak with Born of the Gods, but in it being weak, it's open in the next couple packs. So you're still, if you get some half decent black stuff, and Born, you can get some very good black Garys and the 2/2 flying lifelinking Harpy as well pretty easily in your next packs, which are pretty good to have in a black, blue, or black-white deck.
So two of the decks that I drafted yesterday on my snow day were black-red all-removal decks. I started off one draft by going Searing Blood, Bile Blight, Asphyxiate. So the mana was a little awkward. I got a Freakus Cure in there as well later on, but I mean, it had a Keepsake Gorgon, it had two Gray Merchants. Black just seems rather underdrafted, and it pairs very well with white and red. So,
right.
Yeah.
I haven't paired it with red that much. I've paired it with white and blue. How does it work well with red? Sorry, I haven't.
Just kill everything.
Oh, okay,
and then you kill them with terrible 2/3s.
Fair enough. That works. Yeah, I've seen some black. I've seen it do work. It's that 5-mana 3/3 inspired one. It's not the best card to have, but if you need a 23rd, it's pseudo invasion, especially if you have like Tupaz had the all removal dot deck.
I don't think I've ever put him into a deck, but the card that's been really overperforming for me has been the Kragma Warcaller, the 2/3 for 3 mana. And when it comes untapped, it gets plus two, plus
inspired.
Yes.
Yeah,
I've so had that reverse thing just hit my opponent 5 times and just clearing away with Bolt of Chronuses and whatnot.
That guy does work, especially with, I've seen Griptide. Oh, this Griptide showing up more and more. Not Griptide, sorry. Sudden Storm, which taps the creatures and everything. I've seen Sudden Storm pop up more and more. I don't know if people are just realizing how good it is, or for some reason it's becoming more popular on Modo just in percentage of packs open. But
no, it's just people have realized that, you know, Theros is kind of about going all in on a creature.
Voltron, so, a symbol.
Yeah, it's rather good against Voltrons.
So I think kind of in the idea of draft, I know, as you guys have kind of found out, I don't really draft as much. I kind of draft on the weekends a little. Toops and Ford are kind of our resident drafters. But we did it once before. I don't know. Did we do it for Born of the Gods, the pack one, pick one?
Yeah, it was Born of the
Gods.
Yeah,
it was a Born of the Gods one.
So we have another one of those today. And I think with Toops being on probably the hottest hot streak on Modo that I've ever heard of, we're gonna do another pack one, pick one today. Ford's going to open it up.
Is it bad that this isn't even close to my hottest hot streak?
So if we're going with Toops, then just read the white cards, I think is what I heard.
No. I mean, you look at all the cards. I mean, if there's, you know, a...
Okay,
well, I can't actually think of a good blue card that I would pick, but...
There's some... I mean, if there's nothing in the pack, Sudden Storm definitely works as a solid one.
Now, this I think I've had to pick a... the 3-mana 2/3 that bestows for 5 in blue. I think I've had to first pick that once, and I was really upset about it.
Triton?
Yeah, Nick's Born Triton.
Yeah.
I first picked him a few times.
I don't like first picking him just because I see him wheel so many times.
I mean, he's better than wheeling. He should have stopped wheeling by now. I haven't seen that in a while.
Okay, well, we've got Epiphany Storm, the one red enchant creature.
You can literally rip that up.
So this is Born of the Gods, right? I just
want
to press that.
Born of the Gods. Enchant creature has pay red mana, tap it, discard a card, draw a card. I'm assuming no one's picking this first pick. I'm just...
No. Card's broken.
Yep. Okay.
I want to hear the ripping noise.
No. Because it could be bulk. I could sell it at like 1 in 1,000 for something. prevent the... hold at bay, the one in a white. Prevent the next 7 damage that would be dealt to target creature or player this turn.
Good, but I'm not taking it first. Go, keep going.
Marshmist, not unplayable. In theory, if you're out of targets for a heroic deck, it could they are small targets for heroic deck. It can do some stuff.
I never want to play it. Like,
not first pick. Marshmist Titan, 6 and a black for a 4/5. Marshmist Titan costs X less where cast, where X is your devotion to black. I have seen someone with 4 of these in a deck, and it was very annoying.
I like it. That's in my mind so far. Best one so far. Keep going.
Okay. Nyxborn Wolf, the 2 and the green for the bestow for 4 and a green for a 3/1.
So well, we have a front
row. I've seen.
Yeah, that one's amazing.
Yeah.
Floodtide Serpent. 4 and a blue for 4/4, which can't attack unless return an enchantment you control to its owner's hand. I've had fun with this card with the one that's when enchant creature draw a card, or yeah, when it dies draw a card, or the flying, give it flying, can only block fires and draw a card. I've had fun with that this and that.
We're still not taking this first pick, though.
No, most not likely not.
Yeah, that's really gimmicky.
It's gimmick,
it, put him in the gimmick pile.
Gimmicky pile, so okay.
Rip him up.
No. Tooth is going to say rip
him up. Not white.
Okay, here. Troops, I'll rip up this panda token. Will that make you happy? I'll rip up this panda
What's
token.
What's the next card?
Grizzly Transformation. 2 and a black for the aura enchant creature. When it enters battlefield, draw a card. Enchant creature has intimidate.
It's so fine.
There you go. You got the whole gimmick in one pack.
Yep.
Troops will like this one. Nyxborn Rollicker. The one red, bestow for 1 and a red for a 1/1 enchant creature gets 1/1. This seems to be in two strategy.
I actually don't like running him.
I hate
He's
this card.
He's just underpowered.
Jamie wanted to run this card in our two-headed giant pool in Richmond, and I kept looking at it, and I go, Jamie, this card is not good. You don't want to cast it ever for its regular or its bestow. Like, it's just a waste of a card.
I mean, this goes the same way I would put Holden Bay. If you're really low on targets in a heroic deck that needs them, this guy is not horrible.
Yeah.
But I would more likely play this in the green heroic because the heroic guys get so much bigger.
Yeah. Next one.
The okay, the one I was just talking about, Sudden Storm for 3 and a blue, the instant. Tap 2 target creatures. Those creatures don't untap during their controller's next untapped step, and scry 1.
Card's awesome.
Definitely one of the best cards we've seen so far.
Still not better than the wolf.
Okay, yeah, the wolf is infinitely better than that as a first pick.
We've got different opinions on that.
I like Sudden Storm a lot, but keep going.
It's a good card, but I'm not first picking it.
Well, I'm not first picking any of these right now, or hopefully not first picking any of these right now. Aspect of Hive, 1 green, target creature gets +X+X till end of turn, where X is your devotion to green. Another not a bad heroic enabler in the green heroic deck, which I seem to be saying about a lot of these cards. That too says rip up. Claim of Erebus, the 1 in a black enchant aura, enchant creature has 1 in a black, tap it, target player loses 2 life.
Before you read the next one, this is about when I'm asking the judge for a new pack.
Only thing I'll say about this is I lost the game to this on a Yoke Dox, and I was so pissed at it at one time. It was just a...
That doesn't make it a good card.
It doesn't make it a good card. I'm just saying that was, like, a really annoying that I could find no way to get past the Yoke Dox.
You can kind of build around this card, but it...
No, you can't. We're not talking about this card. Just keep going.
Okay, we'll just... Okay.
Okay, we'll put this on the top level of the gimmicks. How's that? Does that sound okay?
Yes.
For everyone, top level of gimmicks?
No, it's good with Servant of Timuret.
Okay. Okay, here we go. One that's actually good. Fanatic of Xenagos. 1, a red and a green for the Centaur 3/3 Trample Tribute. 1, or when Fanatic of Xenagos enters the battlefield, if Tribute wasn't paid, get a +1/+1 and gain haste until end of turn.
So that's the first uncommon.
Not better than the wolf?
The wolf?
No, it's a gold card.
The wolf is a lot better.
Okay.
Wolf is infinitely better.
Okay. Ashiok's Adept. I'll have to admit, I have not actually played with this card yet. 2 and a black. It has a heroic ability. Whenever you cast a spell that targets Ashiok Adept, each opponent discards a card for a 1/3.
Probably bad.
All right, based on your defending of every card we've met so far, if you won't even play with it, then that definitely should be ripped up.
No, actually, I like Ashiok's Adept probably third most out of this pack so far. It's decent in white, blank, heroic. It's not exactly what you want to do, but curving that into like a the 1/3 no the
retirement.
The 1/3 that lets you look at your hand, look at their hand for devotion. I mean, you can actually disrupt them pretty well.
Oh, and once you start putting things on it. Phoenix.
Yes, Disciple of Phoenix. That is the card.
The two black and two from 1/3
from Theros. Yeah.
You curve that into Grey Merchant, and you're just happy.
Mm-hmm. I think that Ashax Adept is probably like the best heroic creature without a home.
Okay, I can get behind that reasoning of it. I've never heard that reasoning of it, but I can get behind it. And then actually, the one I most likely would pick, Thunder Brute, 4 and 2 red for a 5/5 with Trample that has Tribute 3, and if Tribute, when Thunder Brute enters the battlefield, if Tribute wasn't paid, it gains haste until end of turn. I would probably play this and go on the strategy of see what red I can grab in Theros and the rare, sorry about that, everyone. The one that everyone's looking for. Perplexing Chimera.
Nope.
4 and a blue for a 3/3 with lots of interesting flavor text on it. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, you may exchange control of Perplexing Chimera and that spell. If you do, you may choose a new target for that spell.
Nope.
I have to agree with Walls. That's a nope on this pick.
This is where I'm going to blow everybody's minds, and I'm taking the Perplexing Chimera.
Nope.
Okay, that's I've seen it be picked first. It's I've definitely seen that pick first. It's not something. It takes a very special player to pick that first, though. I think.
All I know is that it's a 5-mana 3/3 isn't the best, but it puts your opponent into such an awkward situation. And if you're the littlest bit ahead on board, you're just in such a controlling part of the game.
Yeah,
it's very hard for them to come back.
I will probably go with the Thunder Brute still in this case. I like it. Red's pretty strong in Born of the Gods. You get plenty of the nice red enchantments that we've talked about earlier with Fearsome Temper and the Red Devotion plus X plus O guy. And then as long as you get some half-decent pair it with some half-decent color, you're probably pretty set up for your Theros picks.
Jamie, what are you taking?
I've been kind of converted to the Chimera after talking with a few people about how it plays out. I think that thing is just, like, you can't play against it for the rest of the, like, you have to play things that are crappy for the rest of the game.
Or try
to bait your opponent by playing something, like, which is good but not your best card in hand, like, something you can deal with. Like, if you just have, like, a couple good, like, you can't put removal on it because you just redirects it and then you... Well, you got a 3/3. Well, okay, great. But you lost one of your creatures. I don't know. I think it's really, really impossible to play around, especially if you design your deck properly. If that guy wasn't there, I was definitely going with the Nyxborn Runner, though. That would have been my pick overall.
Nyxborn Wolf?
Or is he a wolf?
Yeah.
Whatever. The Nyxborn Wolf. I think that card is... Oh, my God. That card is so good.
I won a lot of games off that guy.
And I love green. I love green, too, because you can just take, like, after packs 2 and 3, you basically can play whatever color you open. You can make green X decks, and they're pretty amazing. I enjoy the ability to be open, so I would have probably went with the wolf if the Chimera was not there.
And sometimes you just get to put a Plains and a Swamp in your blue-green deck to play some crazy off-color cards, right, Jamie?
Oh my God, that's a really fun story that we can probably get to later, but we still have another first pick here coming from our good friend John Walls.
I'm taking Sudden Storm. I like the tricks. I will be the first to admit, I kind of was watching Jamie do some drafts yesterday and was quick to admit that I find myself taking combat tricks over cards most of the time that I shouldn't be. I like having instants in Limited. It normally ends up with me not having enough creatures in my deck and just relying on tricks way too much and being pretty soft to removal. But I really like Sudden Storm. The ability to tap creatures down for a turn or two seems really strong, especially in blue. If you can combine it with something like a Wavecrash Triton in maybe a blue-white kind of heroic, more aggressive deck, that's kind of the decks I've been really favoring is the blue-white heroic with, like Toop said, Wingseed Rider. Being probably my favorite card out of these sets to draft. I really like Sudden Storm. It's not too expensive. It's an instant. It lets you scry one because they thought tacking that on there would be really nice. So you can do this, you know, when your opponent's about to go to attacks to kind of tap their guys down. You scry to see what's, you know, coming up next and kind of sets up your turn. I really like that one. I think if that wasn't in the pack, I probably agree with Jamie and would have. Actually, no, he went to Chimera.
Yeah, he went with the Chimera.
I probably would have gone with his second pick, which would have been the Wolf. Greens.
So, John, just really quick, I want to pick issue with your logic there. You say that you like Sudden Storm in the blue-white heroic decks, but your creatures are generally large enough to get through combat on their own, and you've got things like the Observant Alcaid, which gives your guys vigilance so that you can block, and your creatures are generally going to be the biggest ones on the battlefield. So you're not concerned with one giant creature getting through that you have to tap down. You're concerned with like the swarm of five or six tutus getting through you. So I like Sudden Storm a lot against the blue-white heroic deck, but not so much in the blue-white heroic deck.
I mean, it also leaves you open to just play like blue-black control.
True, yeah.
So it's not really locking me in. Like, yeah, I like it in the heroic decks. In some odd fringe world where you need your heroic guy to be one bigger than their heroic guy, you can target your own guy with your Sudden Storm.
Nope. This play has never happened ever. Nope.
What you're talking about, you do with, is it Heliod's Glimpse of the Sun
Glimpse
God?
Glimpse of the Sun God, yeah.
You can do that with that. I've done that with that before, which is a instant white and an X, tap target creatures and scry one.
Yep. So
and
I'm...
That works well with the heroic guys.
I mean, I like being able to control the board a little bit more. I found that the creature combat's a little bit easier when you can, you know, just look at their bomb and go, I don't want to deal with that for two turns. I know it worked
wonders for us. You know
what's
a really good way
of not
dealing with their bomb? Taking it with their Chimera.
They're not going to cast it.
Exactly. So it stays in their hand the entire game and you kill them with a 3-3.
That sounds
boring.
You know
what works really well against Chimera, unfortunately, though?
What is that?
If enchantment removal.
Yeah, I mean, enchantment removal is just good in the format.
Right, because it's an enchantment creature, so most if you do it right, there shouldn't be another enchantment on the board, so that even if they redirect it, it wouldn't matter. That's how I've killed it a few times.
Eh, I'm still taking Sudden Storm. This pack was kind of boring to me.
Yeah, this pack wasn't that great. There's probably no big signals, at least right now, being passed along to the next pack.
Never bother worrying about what signals you're passing along. Just worry about what signals you're getting.
Well, I'm just saying, you're not sending someone like three great red cards like someone was saying earlier.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of signaling. I guess that's how I was kind of trained how to draft, and I still do it. And I think it's good knowing what the people to your left are playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing what cards won't be coming your way and what cards you can pass down for no risk.
But see, I want to touch on that really fast. I think that's really, really overvalued. If I open a pack with three really good red cards and a good blue card, if the red card is the best card in the pack, I'm still going to take the red card. Because getting past a pack with two good red cards in its second doesn't mean anything. If the person didn't pick a red card to begin with, that preference for red just isn't there. Like, and they might have that same mentality as you. I've opened those packs where you have like three really good red cards in it, taken the red card out of it, and tabled one of those really good red cards because the fourth, fifth, sixth people in a row all said, hey, there are two really good red cards here. I don't want to be the guy that takes a red card and then my opponent takes a red card to my left. You're going to get two packs worth of red cards if you have red coming from your right. It doesn't matter what the people on your left are drafting.
This gets a little bit into the level of psychology and knowing your opponent, I think, in talking about which ways to do this, because in theory, if you know how your opponent's going to think, then you'll know exactly also, or not exactly, but have an idea of the signals that you're passing to them, how they'll will or in some cases won't react to them, I guess, would be how
It also depends really on where you're drafting. I think that, you know, drafting at an FNM is extremely different than drafting on Magic Online.
And drafting in a Pro Tour or GP.
I actually heard Kaibud earlier today say that he has tougher opponents in a Magic Online 8-4 normally than he does at the first draft at a Pro Tour. So I just thought that was pretty funny.
Well, I'll have to take his word for that because I've only done the Magic Online 8-4s, not the Pro Tour draft.
I mean, that sounds, that makes perfect sense to me, because when you're all at the Pro Tour level, you kind of know, like, all the archetypes. Everyone's good at reading the open colors. You know, everyone's going to identify, you know, what's the best deck out of the cards that they're getting for the most part. So, you know, like, it's really easy to know exactly what people are going to do, I think, more so at the Pro Tour than at, in an 8-4.
I think it's more easy to know what people are going to do in a Pro Tour than anything on Magic Online. There's always the insane person joins the queue and, or Moto crashes and they're not able to grab their picks.
Oh, Moto crashing. Yeah. That never happens.
I think that's a good kind of transition into our which seems to be weekly Toops rants about Moto and how terrible it is segment. So
we need like an intro music for that or something.
Terrible Toops time.
Toops time. You know what the sad thing is? Like, I actually didn't have anything to rant about until, you know, last night or earlier today. I've drafted so much I don't actually remember when it was.
It's all a blur, man. It's all a blur. So many cards. So much white and red.
Moto just... It just stopped working. It would kick me off.
I stopped seeing back the cards and I just seconds. See packs, man.
And then it would kick me off again, so I'd be able to, like, log in just enough time to rejoin a draft or something like that, see that I had auto-picked, and then leave. And this went on for about 20 minutes or so. It only happened when I was drafting once. But it was really unfortunate. And to cap that off with this weekend's whole problems with Magic Online going down for like 4 or 5 hours, the daily MTG website going down while there was GP coverage going on, and it was actually an issue in the top 8 because the judges couldn't access Gatherer to see the ruling of Fall of the Hammer to see how protection interacts with it.
Oh, that was the big issue? Why they couldn't figure out issue. How that worked?
Yeah.
Okay, it was because Gatherer was down?
Yeah, so usually okay. It's easy just to check that. It's kind of sad that Bing Luke on Twitter, his Twitter handle is like ProPolicy9, was able to find the exact rule. It was some obscure thing like 240 Section B or something like that, faster than the level 4 or 5 judge was.
Well, he was also, you know, by his computer when it happened. Who knows?
As was the judge.
I thought the judge was walking around and then eventually got called over to there.
No, this was the head judge.
Okay.
So, that whole situation was a little bit
absurd.
Well,
it could just be, like, how to search, because, like, as a patent examiner myself, I feel like I'd be pretty good at searching a giant collection of rules databases for something better than, you know, a regular engineer.
It's worrying to me when you have a judge giving out a ruling in which, you could hear this on stream, he said, "This is the ruling I'm giving out. We aren't sure if this is how the rules go, but this is my ruling." Those were almost his exact words. And I'm a huge fan of the judge program. I love what they do. I think it's really important to have judges. I think that having a ruling coming from a position of authority is also very good. But that ruling should be correct. It's not a bonus when it's right.
But isn't it always, can't you, I mean, this wasn't the head judge who said this. This was
was the head judge.
Oh.
That was the head judge. Those were his words. Okay. The table judge just got it completely wrong. And the head judge had it right.
Okay. Yeah, the one thing, I know it was down during the GP, and this was one thing I was wondering about, is shouldn't people, at least most people watching this, already know about Twitch and know how to pull it up from there? Okay.
I don't understand the question, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't understand.
What? No, because some people, when Daily MTG's down, that's the link that some people were using to get to Twitch? Yeah, to get to Twitch.
I mean, some people don't, you know, associate
Magic
with Twitch.
Because I know they posted it on the Twitter account. They posted this is the direct link to it.
Well, because they embed the Twitch chat, or not the Twitch chat, the Twitch
stream
into dailymtg.com directly, and there's no link or anything that you click on, so it's just the stream window.
Yeah, so if you don't know it's on Twitch, you're not getting redirected in any way from dailymtg to the Twitch page. So if you
Wizards
if
also uses Cover It Live and then Nico Nico, depending on where you are in the world, for coverage, so only Americans would be using the Twitch right there.
What's Nico Nico?
It's the Japanese version of Twitch.
Okay.
Meow.
No, Japanese, not cat.
But isn't that what Nico is in Japanese?
Oh, is it? I have no idea.
I know what a Neko is.
Neko was cat.
I am not sure.
I know what a Neko is.
Somehow our cast not always like devolves wafer. Into cat talk.
I mean, it's Jamie. I'll
okay,
point that
I think
finger.
This one's my train.
Yeah, it's not mine. I don't hear it. Yeah, that's your train, Jamie.
Yeah.
Yep.
So does anybody else have anything else to add tonight? I think that should about do it for us.
About Moto Rants? No, I think Tube's covered most of everything that could have happened.
Yeah. Jamie,
it's
you good?
It's still fun, though.
You guys should all give Popper a chance. Come stop by our stream. And if you know anything about Popper, let us know, because I need help. I'm new. John's new. We're hopefully going to get some content up of us playing Popper and playtesting, so look out for that.
Pretty fun to watch, and Tubes has not banned me in a couple days from the stream. I don't know why he only has that authority.
It was one time, and it was as a joke.
Yeah, I know, but I still find it fun to bring up.
So, John, where's that stream?
They've been saying the stream, so I've been the one who's been streaming. Normally, at least one of these schmucks jumps on and chats with me and can see what I'm doing and basically tells me I'm doing everything wrong. You can follow me at twitch.tv/ocbass208. It's the same name as my Twitter, only with the numbers 208 at the end. I'll put all that in the show notes because spelling things is hard and it's internet.
It's spelled like a fish, not like a sea and bass.
People mess that up still, so I'll put it in the show notes. Speaking of show notes, you can find us and all of our personal Twitters in the show notes. I'll put all those there. If you want to follow our team's Twitter account, you can follow us at VictoryCast on Twitter. You can also send us any emails to coalitionvictorymtg@gmail.com. That's the name of the show, mtg@gmail.com. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening tonight. I want to thank the co-host for helping out. Hope you guys all come back next week as kind of the regulars. Hopefully we get some more people jumping in.
Anything? What's next week? I'm just...
Magic. We're going to play Magic more. Okay. Jamie and I are going to play Popper a lot.
Grand Prix Cincinnati is this weekend, which is standard, so there should be some interesting things coming to that.
Oh, yeah, standard should be fun.
It's only a 4-hour drive, and if I feel like hating myself, I could... No, I'm not going to go to that.
Smart man. I have a dog, so I usually need to plan much further in advance if I'm going, outside the state.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in and give us a listen.
It's snowing. I'm cold. I can't see more than 15 feet.